Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word, second chapter of the book of Judges. Start reading at verse number 1. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, and have brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voices and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim. And they sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the borders of his inheritance in Timnath-heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again today as we read your word, we're so thankful for the Bible, the word of God. And Father, once again, thank you for the great privilege we have to meet together as a church. And Father, to just hear your word, and Lord, to hear a message that you've given the preacher. I want to thank you tonight, Father, for loving us and caring for us and meeting the needs of our life and all the wonderful things that you do for us. And Father, tonight, help us just to be what we should be for you. And Lord, help us, Lord, to hear the word of God and hear things that will be said tonight that will be an encouragement to our heart and a help to us, and also a rebuke if needed, if need be. Lord, do in our hearts what needs to be done. Help us to be more for you than we've ever been before. And we'll thank and praise you for it. In the lovely name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In verse number 7 of the scripture that I read to you, we found out that there was a generation which served the Lord. Joshua, and the Bible says, the elders that outlived Joshua, they served God all the days of Joshua, and also of the elders that outlived Joshua. These were people who had saw the mighty works of God. If you notice there, it said that they knew God, and they had saw the mighty works of God Almighty. These were some of the people who saw the parting of that great river Jordan. When that Jordan began to back up and that walls began to get higher and higher, and the river departed and the people walked across on dry land, they saw that. They also saw, after they got on the other side of Jordan, they came to a city called Jericho, and they got to witness as they walked around and marched around that for 7 days. We find that on that seventh day, the Bible tells us that the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. They saw that. They witnessed that. I mean, they seen it with their own eyes. Not only that, they saw the defeat of Israel by Ai. And then came along the reason for that defeat, of course, was a man by the name of Achan. And he had sinned and withheld some things that he was not supposed to withhold. And, of course, they got that all straightened out. And right after that, then Ai was defeated by Israel. The Israelite people saw these things. They witnessed the great power of God upon the people of Israel. They saw victory after victory as inhabitants of that land was driven out before them. They saw how the land, God took that land and divided it up and gave it to them as a possession. We also know that in the last two chapters, and they are a couple of my favorite chapters in the Bible, we find in Joshua, the last two chapters of Joshua, was where Joshua gave some counsel to Israel. Tremendous counsel. If you read those last two chapters, he was instructed by God to give Israel some counsel. They heard Joshua stand before his death and give them some of the greatest counsel that they had ever heard. As far as me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. They heard that. They heard Joshua say that. And so because of witnessing these things, they were steadfast in their faith to God Almighty. There was a great generation that served God, and they saw all of those things. But there was another generation that arose after them. Now, I want to take just a moment and look at that generation. I want to say to you, it didn't all at once just happen. Here Joshua and the people that served with Joshua during his generation, they served God. Then come along another group of people, the elders who had outlived Joshua. The Bible says they had served God. But somewhere along the line, there was a breakdown in the generation that was coming up. And another Bible says, another generation that knew not God. Now, you got to remember something. The generation before them saw all those wonderful works of God that I just talked about. And you know they must have talked about them. You know that generation spoke about those things probably time after time after time, telling those wonderful stories of what God had done for them. But all at once rose up, after the elders that outlived Joshua, a new generation rose up who knew not God nor the works that God had done for Israel. And to me, this is an amazing thing. They had not witnessed the great works of God. They had not saw it with their eyes. I say to you, that's one of the things that's on this pastor's heart. I want you to see God do things. I really want that so much. I want you to witness. This is one of the reasons now I don't mean we just made a big deal out of it, because it is a big deal. But I want you to look at a couple that's going to Costa Rica for language school. I want you to see a couple that's heading for a Dominican Republic. I want you to see that. I want our young people to see those things. I want them to see lives literally changed. One of the reasons, and of course we needed the building out here, but one of the reasons I wanted them to witness a building program and see God do it. See God provide every stick of lumber. Everything's out there, and it's been provided up to this very day. Every single thing out there, God paid for. And you know what? One of the reasons I wanted that is for our young people. The generation that's coming up, I wanted them to see some things. And I want them to see more than just a building. I want to see them see it filled with young boys and girls. Amen. I want them to remember the bus ministry as alive and vibrant. I want them to see that and be witness to it. Because, folks, if they don't, it's going to fade from their memory in time. You notice here that the Bible says they knew of him, basically, but they did not know him. The Bible says they did not know him. They did not know the works that he had done for Israel. Boy, that's serious. And you're only talking about a generation. You're only talking about a generation. This is so sad to me. And then in verse number 12 and 13 that I read to you, you'll notice two times in both of those verses, at the beginning of the verse, it says that they forsook the Lord. They just forsook the Lord. Both verses, though, I mean, they walked away from God. One generation, and here they are walking away from God after God had done all of these wonderful works for their father's generation. This is serious, very, very serious to me. I believe that's why it's so important to keep alive the Lord and his work in our lives. It's so important to keep that alive to the next generation that God is real. I believe, in my heart, I believe that we ought to keep alive the reality of our salvation. Folks, don't just be saved. Let your children hear about it. Cover it with them. Tell them about the times you was when you were saved, and keep that alive in their hearts. Let them never forget the time that their parents were saved and other folk were saved. Talk about those things. Keep that alive to that generation that's coming up behind you. And not only that, I believe they ought to see the reality of changed lives. I think once in a while you ought to say to them, you know, we don't do like we used to do. My children, I believe, can remember some things that we did before salvation that we quit doing when we got saved. And I think that's important. I need to keep it reality before them. You know what? God is not only my Savior, He is my Lord. He is Lord and Savior. And He's my Lord, and I want to serve Him, and I want you to see that evidence in my life. I want you to see it on a daily basis. I believe that's important to keep that before the generation that's coming up behind us. They need it. They need the reality of all of those things. You know, we put so much on them and we ask so much of them, and certainly we should. My, it's okay to do that, but folks, listen, we've got to set the example before them. We can't talk to them and say, now you just do it no matter what we do. Oh, no, no, no. We must always put that reality that God not only saved us, but He changed us. You know, that's one of the reasons why Jesus instituted the communion service, so that we wouldn't forget Him. We're a forgetful folk. And every time we do that, we do it in remembrance of Him. You know what? Jesus knew we'd be in the habit of forgetting things. We'd just let it fade off into space somewhere. Well, folks, if you don't get it before your young people, before the generation that's coming up, that you got saved and that is real in your life, and God changed you and that's real in your life, it'll fade. Pretty soon they'll look at it as though, well, that's just the kind of folk they were, that's who they was, and they're just good folk. No, 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 we're not good folk. We're not good folk unless Jesus does something for us. And we need to present that to our young people, to the generation that is coming up. You see, what one generation does matter. The standard that you set for that generation's coming up behind you and the generation's coming up behind me, it does matter how I behave myself. And what I present to them and what I leave for them does matter. Here's a generation somewhere that just went off and faded off away from God, and all at once now they forsook God. What happened in there, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us, but that's exactly what they did. They forsook God. I don't want the generations of this church coming up forsaking God. I want them to see a vibrant faith in people. I want them to see that in action in your life and in my life. You see. So what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to preach a message which I've entitled, I'm Sorry. It's the title of my message, I'm Sorry. And basically I'm going to go and I'm going to go from the standpoint, I'm sorry if you grew up in a generation that does this. And then I'm going to cover some things. I'm going to cover about the country. I'm going to cover about the home. And I'm going to cover about the church. Because let me say to you, what is going on in America today, in the home, in the country, and in the church, does matter to the generation that is coming up. It is affecting the generation that is living today. It's affecting them. And so what I want to do is I'm just going to cover some things. And we're going to say, you know, I'm sorry if you live in this kind of generation. We are going to start with the country. I'm sorry you live in a generation that allows people to burn flags instead of saluting. I'm sorry if you live in a generation where patriotism is scorned. I'm sorry if you live in a generation where soldiers now fight under the UN sanction instead of the American flag. I'm sorry that you live in a generation where draft dodgers can become president. I'm sorry that you live in a generation where a president can commit filthy sin and lie to the American people and still be president. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that politicians care more about votes than truth. I'm sorry that votes can be bought. I'm sorry when corruption is rampant and honesty is mocked. I'm sorry when abortion is made legal instead of being called murder. That's a generation that you're living in. I didn't live in that generation when I grew up. And brother, it makes a difference. Now remember this as I go through this. Just because we live in a generation that does that does not mean that every person in that generation is going to be doing those things. It's not what we're saying. I believe that God had his people clear back in this generation that forsook God and walked away from God. God still had his remnant. God, and throughout the Bible, always has his remnant. And I believe there was people in that day that loved God and walked with God. But the whole standard of the generation, God says, is they forsook God. And what I'm saying to these things that I'm saying to you is the standard of our generation. It's not that there isn't people doing right, but it's the standard of our generation. I'm sorry if you live in a generation where sodomy is an alternative lifestyle instead of an abomination to God. I'm sorry where it's wrong to pray in our schools. I'm sorry when it's un-American to have a nativity scene on public property. I'm sorry where Christians are sued and arrested for carrying Bibles and handing out tracts and sharing their faith. I'm sorry you live in that kind of generation, but that's the kind you live in. I'm sorry where bills in Congress are passed for the good of the not for the good of the country, but for the good of the pocketbook. I'm sorry that we live in a generation where the hope of the nation is the New York Stock Exchange and NASDAQ instead of God. I'm sorry you live in a generation where our young is more dependent on drugs than they are God. I'm sorry you live in a generation wherein God we trust is on our coins but not in our hearts. Let's talk about the home. I'm sorry you live in a generation where children are a nuisance instead of a heritage of God. You know, we got to have daycare centers. Got to have them by the hundreds and thousands. Why? So mamas can get out and work. Stay home. Children are not a nuisance. They're a heritage of God Almighty. And someone crying in their milk will say, "Oh, but Brother Ross, it's necessary for me to work," and it may very well be. Your husband may be deceased, and all kinds of things like that. But I'm just simply saying to you, do without and stay home and raise the children. You'll find that very biblical. In fact, you'll find it's absolutely biblical. I'm sorry you live in a generation where parents rear their children according to Spock's book instead of God's book. I'm sorry you live in a generation where TV and Nintendo trains the children instead of parents. I'm sorry you live in a generation where material things are more important than spiritual blessings. Better listen. That's the generation we're living in. I'm sorry we live in a generation where learning how to make a living is more important than learning how to live. I'm sorry we live in a generation where parents care more about their plans than God's plans. I'm sorry we live in a generation where dads refuse to lead their homes and guide their homes and rise up and say, "I'm going to be a leader of this home." They refuse to do that. A lot of the problems of today would be taken care of if dads would just step up to the plate and say, "I'm going to be what God wants me to be." Many of the problems. You know who I really blame it on? I'm not blaming it on the women. I blame it on dads that don't have the guts to stand up and do right. And just lead their family. Just lead them. Put your Bible under your arm. Get them to church. Be faithful to God, do right, live right. That's what a husband is supposed to do. Is that not true? See, but we live in a generation where men don't want to take that responsibility. I'm sorry, we live in a generation where moms refuse to submit. But the Bible says you are to your husband. Correct? You know, multitudes of these things, I'm going to go back to that. Multitudes of these things could be cared for, taken care of in America if daddies would just do what the Bible tells them to do. What we want to do is blame the women. We want to blame them for not submitting, and you don't want to lead. My friend, it is wrong for a woman not to submit to her husband's leadership because God said so. But it's also wrong for a husband not to lead his family and do right because God said so. Amen? I'm sorry, we live in a generation where families live in houses instead of homes. Folks, you know what? You don't have to have a fancy house to have a wonderful home. No. It's more important you have a home than it is you have a house. Amen. I'm sorry, you live in a generation where children are taught to be takers instead of givers. I'm sorry, we live in a generation where boys are taught how to get out of work instead of how to work. I'm sorry, we live in a generation where girls see how many clothes they can have instead of how to make them, wash them, and care for them. This is all from inspiration. But what I said is true. I'm sorry, we live in a generation where girls know how to eat out of dishes but don't know how to fix any. Or wash them. I'm sorry, we live in a generation where girls know how to sit at the table but not how to set a table. I'm sorry, we live in a generation that knows how to make themselves look good but don't learn how to be good. I'm sorry, we live in a generation where children have been taught to mock authority instead of obey it. I'm sorry, we live in a generation where it's more important to take them to a ball game than it is to take them soul winning. I'm sorry, we live in a generation where sports figures are more revered than God's servants. I'm sorry, we live in a generation where dedication to jobs are more important than dedication to God. I'm sorry, we live in a generation where parents send their children to church instead of take them. Amen. I'm sorry, we live in a generation where debt is accumulated instead of eliminated. It'd help you so much if you get out of debt. You say, well, Brother Ross, I just can't right now. Well, you can if you work on it. You can somewhere in the, you can work out a plan. Yes. Sure you can. You know, I've heard, and I'm thankful for this, I've heard more than one couple out of this church come to me and say, Brother Ross, I'm working to get out of debt. Boy, that thrills this preacher's heart. It really does. Just thrills this preacher's heart. So thankful. You know, you don't do that overnight. I told you the story. I ain't going to go into it tonight, but I've told you the story. When Donna and I, young in our Christian life, we was in debt like this. God bore so witness with me and got me to see the scriptural principles of this, and we began to work getting out of debt. It took a long time for us to do it, but we got there. And you know how we got there? With doing without. That's not a sin to do without. Amen. We just did without. I didn't do without the necessities of life because God has promised me I wouldn't have to do that. But we did do without some of the frills of life. Amen? Yeah. I take some of my time. I don't have much time, but I take some of my time now. I told my wife I'm about 56 years old, I think, when we started this, 55 maybe years old. I told her, I said, I'm going to now spend some time and I'm going to get you a few things that we've never had before. Oh, you say fancy things? No. I got her a new couch. I got her a new love seat so she could sit in it with me. I bought her an oak table and chairs. 50 some odd years old before she ever got them, which is okay. I'm not griping about that. I'm just saying. And I make her some furniture. I make it because I love her and I want her to see it have some things she never had before. No, that wasn't bad. That's not bad. I'm just simply saying that's why I do it. You see, it won't hurt you to wait till 50 than having it all when you're 20. You don't need those things then. It's bad for you. It's sad business. Amen. You don't need all that stuff. No. You need to wait, you see. Now, where was I at? I'll find it here in a minute. Where debt is accumulated instead of eliminated. Sorry, we live in a generation where the amount of things obtained is more important than how they are obtained. Sorry, we live in a generation where the root of all evil, which is the love of money, is sought after more than the principal thing, which is wisdom. Amen. Folks, you'd better rather have wisdom than money. Because God said it's a principal thing. Amen. I'm sorry we live in a generation where development of bank accounts is more important than development of character. I'm sorry we live in a generation where home has become a palace of discontent instead of a palace of contentment. I could go on and on, but I'm going to get over on the church. I'm sorry we live in a generation where Sunday is just another day instead of the Lord's day. I'm sorry we live in a generation where the church is tolerated instead of loved. Sorry we live in a generation where the church is joining the world instead of separating from it. The commission is there from God Almighty. The command is there from God Almighty for us to come out and be separate. And most of the Christian world today absolutely is joining themselves with the world and their activities and the ways of the world instead of separating from it. So all you have to do is look around and see it. But it's contrary to the Bible. It's contrary to the Word of God. I'm sorry we live in a generation where the church is not feared but mocked. There used to be a day when the church was feared. People feared God enough to fear His church. I'm sorry you're living in a generation where churches have more need for kitchens than they do for prayer rooms. I'm sorry you're living in a generation where Jesus Christ is a curse word instead of being the word. I'm sorry you're living in a generation where Jesus Christ is resident in the heart but not president. I'm sorry we live in a generation where Jesus Christ is ignored instead of being welcomed. I'm sorry we live in a generation where the Bible is considered literature instead of absolute truth. I'm sorry we live in a generation where it's thus saith man instead of thus saith the Lord. I'm sorry we live in a generation where preachers preach in fear of man instead of fear of God. You remember a little while ago when I talked about men, I blame most of the problems in family problems on men, and I do. Because they're leadership, they have the responsibility. I blame most of the problems on men because they won't step up to the bat and do right. Well, I blame also most of the problems on we preachers. Preachers all over this country are scared to death to get up and preach the Bible, the Word of God. Absolutely ashamed that a preacher, a man of God, would be ashamed of his flock. That he would be scared to get up and preach the Bible, no matter what it said, just get up and preach it. That is absolutely ridiculous. I consider that person not a man of God. Time we preachers step to the bat. Just preach it the way it is. See? Amen. sorry we live in a generation where preachers seek their own glory instead of God's glory. Sorry we live in a generation where numbers on a board is more important than names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Said something to somebody here a while back and about a church, and first thing they wanted to know was, how big is it? How big is it? I'm sorry we live in a generation where loyalty is a word used but seldom applied. I'm sorry we live in a generation where building houses is more important than building churches. I'm sorry we live in a generation where churches would rather have a sports program than soul-winning ministry. Going through some of the past yearbooks, and some of those was the years when I was gone. Guarantee you it was when I was gone. And he said they got to looking through the yearbook, and they seen pictures of sports activities. And they had big pictures and people on a bunch of people around these sports activities. So I can't remember all it was. I know it was basketball and volleyball, and I don't know whether there's anything else or not. Doesn't really make any difference. But on each page, so he said, I got tired of hearing it because they said, why don't we have this now? Why don't we do this? He said, let me show you why. So he took the yearbook and he opened it up and he said, now look at that. He said, there's the basketball pictures. How many people's involved in that? Oh boy, most of the people seemed like. Oh, a lot of people. Turned it over again. He said, there's volleyball. Look at all that's involved in that. Wow, that was really something. Boy, a lot of them got involved in that. He said, now let me show you something. Turn to the near the back of the book. And down in one little corner was a picture of the soul winning club. Three girls.
Wow.
That's why we don't have sports programs. You know why? Because they take precedence over spiritual programs, spiritual ministries. Oh, sure they do. Sure they do. You just mark it down. You just figure it out. You just look at things and see what's more important. Amen. I'm sorry we live in a generation where God is only important when there's trouble. I'm sorry we live in a generation where rock, country, and contemporary music is used instead of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sorry we live in a country where gospel sings are more desired than preaching. Sorry we live in a country or where churches is considered an entertainment center instead of a repentance center. I'm sorry we live in a generation where those who say they are saved still practice the sins they practiced before salvation. Sorry, we live in a generation where separation from the world is considered legalism instead of godliness. I'm sorry, we live in a generation where money spent on dog and cat food exceeds money given to missions. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, we live in a generation where giving is determined by what's left rather than what's due through tithes and offerings. Let me say something to all of us. There's not a person in this room that has any reason whatsoever for not tithing.
That's right.
You've been taught and you know it's correct.
Yes, sir.
If you're not tithing, you're sinning.
That's right.
Mark it down. You may not like that, but it's true.
Right.
Tithing is part of God's program. It is God's program for the financing of the church. That's God's program. Person who doesn't tithe is sinning. And you tithe off the top, not off the bottom.
Right.
Amen. Tithing is the floor, not the ceiling.
Yep. Right.
Because it's tithes and offering.
Right.
And also, I'm sorry, we live in a generation where faithfulness is considered unnecessary unless it's to some worldly activity. I want to tell you something. I started writing these things down. I could go on and on and on, but I'm not. I think I've made my point. What I'm saying to you is this. I'm sorry we live in that kind of generation, but that's the generation we live in. But you don't have to be a part of that generation. You do not have to walk the way this generation is walking. You can and should be different. The people of Joshua's day, those people, the Bible says, served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. You can be part of that generation. But those that rose up, another generation arose. You don't have to be a part of the generation that arose up in this generation. And let me say to you, and I believe you already know this, but if you do not choose the right kind of generation to present to those that are coming up behind you, the ones coming up behind you are going to be much worse off than you are. Because you're going to teach them that it's all right to slide back and not do these things that are right to do. You're going to teach them that, and they're going to slide back further. That's where we've been heading here for a good long time. That's why our churches are in such a mess. That's why our country's in a mess. That's why our homes are in such a mess. I don't understand why we don't understand that. You look at the homes of America today, don't you see what is going on in the homes of America today? Don't you see what's going on in the country today? Don't you see those things? Don't you understand what's going on? Don't you see it? And you and I would ask, why is that going? There's no reason to ask why. It's very evident. Why is the churches going downhill today? Why are they becoming liberal? Why are they bringing the world into the church instead of going into the world and winning them? Why are they doing that? Because they've been a generation that said, we're not going to do this. We're not going to have standards. We're not going to do all these things. That's legalism. No, it isn't legalism. It's godliness. You can call it whatever you want, but it is not legalism. I've been accused of being having legalism in my ministry for years and years. Well, I want to tell you, the other night, if you was here Thursday night, you'll see what legalism does. Amen. Only it's not legalism, it's godliness. You see, what people want, they want it without what we have to go through to get. You see, Jerry could not have taken a group of young people out of most of the churches in America and done what he did the other night. He wrote the play and produced it and directed the whole thing, done a tremendous job on it. But if he didn't have a group of kids that was godly kids and was growing upright, he could have never done it. See, but the other people, what they want is this kind of product. But as I think even him said, they don't want the ingredients. Well, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it the other way. You're going to get it by godliness, by separation from the world. That's the way you're going to get it. No other way. Amen? There's no other way to do it. Got to present godliness. Got to be separated from the world. You say, Brother Ross, you think this church is perfect? You think this school is perfect? You know better than that. I preach it too much. We've got to work at it all the time. We've got to fight it all the time. We've got to make sure that things don't creep in. We're not perfect. We're a long way from it. We've got a ways to go. But I'm going to say we want to go that away instead of that away. Amen. And that's the kind of generation that the kind of teaching that I want to teach to the generation that's coming up. It's what I want them kids to see. And I really, folks, I mean this. You ought to get your kids right here in this school. We'll help them. We can't be the parents, but we'll help them. We'll help them. Amen. No, we're not perfect. No, we make mistakes, but we'll help them. You're teaching a generation. Exactly what you're teaching your generation now is what you're going to leave with them. And let me say to you, they'll never come up to the standard yours is. And yours may not be very high. And they're going to be lower. Because the generations keep slipping. When other people slip, generations behind them slip. What's important to you? Is this generation that's coming up in this church, are they important to you? Well, they are to me. Amen. And I hope you'll take this message and listen to it and hear some of the things I've said and realize that that is the generation that we're living in. But you don't have to be a part of it. You don't have to be a part of that other generation that arose. You can be a part of the Joshua generation that served the Lord the days of his life. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, thanking you tonight for your goodness and your kindness and your grace. And God, we sure need your help. Every single one of us needs you, Lord, to strengthen us and help us in our faith. And Lord, to do right and not do wrong. To realize we're important, what is important in life. And Lord, what's more important than anything else, Lord, that we serve you and walk with you. That's more important than any of the other things that we could ever do. And I pray that you'll work upon our hearts and help us to realize that. Pray if there's anyone here without Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They've never been saved. They do not know if they died tonight that they would go to heaven. They do not know that in their heart. Oh God, I pray that tonight you'll work upon their hearts and convict them of sin and help them to realize they need to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they might be born into God's family. We realize, Father, a person cannot come to the kingdom of God except through Jesus Christ. We understand that. We understand that principle. We know it's true. So we pray, should there be any here without you, oh God, they'd be saved tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.